Welcome, everybody. Heroes Asylum, bonus issue. We're going to do our Legend of the Long Box. It's also sort of a makeup issue. We kind of missed you guys 2 weeks ago. We were out sick. So
yeah, the bug that went around, the coronavirus, just came and kicked our ass.
No, that was a vodka virus. It wasn't a coronavirus.
No, just a very unusual virus. It only comes Saturday nights.
Yeah, it only shows up Saturday nights and Sunday morning. but no, so yeah, and also our last show was running kind of long. And Kane was saying, there's been a lot of books that have come out. And so I thought a little extra long Legends of the Long Box show would be good for us right now. It's like I always say to you guys, thank you again for subscribing, downloading, you know, thank you. Do check out our website. I do try to get out some of our reads that we talk about on there. I've been slacking a little bit, but hopefully this week will be a different story. And again, like I said before, you know, there's a million podcasts out there. I want to thank you guys for joining us and subscribing with us. So awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So we're going to go ahead and get started. I guess I'm going to drop this one. Let me do mine first because this is sort of part of your choice. You've read it. So I know you and I can kind of tag team, and then we're going to go off in our own separate corners and, you know, come out swinging basically. Marvel Star Wars Darth Vader 1 just dropped last week. Kane, I introduced Kane, and so did Josh from Acme Comics, introduced Kane into the Darth Vader series that Marvel did for over the last 2 years, and they finally ended it. Great run. If anybody's wanting to learn,
really, yeah, great run.
And
really,
you know, we always, and I know the joke is everybody's like, you got to go buy more stuff, you got to read the book, you do to build off on the story. And this story basically, and I do apologize to everybody out there, that this gave Vader his nuts back basically, and it told a deeper story and a deeper meaning behind him. So with this run, writer Greg Pak and artist Raphael Linko, I believe is how you pronounce that last name.
Linko, yeah, I believe so.
But this one, basically, it starts with, join me and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son. It starts at the very end of Empire where you see Vader and Luke out on Cloud City overlooking the massive pit. And it also ties directly into another Star Wars comic book that just came out about 3 weeks ago. This one's just Star Wars. And it picks up from Luke's point of view directly afterwards. And you're following Luke and Lando and Chewie and Leia directly after Empire. So this is an interesting tie-in because now you're seeing the light side and the dark side of it. And I love this book. The first issue opens up with Luke Skywalker choosing to fall to his potential death instead of taking his father's hand. Unlike Empire, this comic book follows Vader back to his Star Destroyer, where he immediately boards the Imperial shuttle, has a small skeleton crew, and a single brand new droid. The droid Z-67 informs Vader that Skywalker hasn't been found since his fall. And then Vader says, I will find him when the time is right. And they simply go on a search through the history of the Skywalkers, which
I'll tell you what, I didn't mean to cut you off. I know you're going to give your notes, but
I was done. Yeah, it's great. Go ahead.
To see where he goes after this is one of the reasons I think I have issues with Kathleen Kennedy, is that she says there's no source material, no good writers. You know, there's a lot of stuff, but we don't know where to go on. And then you get a book like this. These are guys who are true Star Wars sweaties because they keep everything in continuity. And seeing Vader go back to Tatooine, like literally the place where he was, he was raised, he was raised over there. Maybe not where Owen Large was at. Just all that flashbacky stuff, especially I think you have some flashbacks to Padme in this too, which works really well in that light and dark side thing. In a way, it's still Vader, but you can tell there's conflict in him. There's still conflict in him. It's just like what Luke said. I can tell, you're still conflicted. And this kind of brings that into life. And the way it's written, the way it's drawn, is unbelievable. But just that element of him going back to Tatooine, and, him just still, he's still haunted by Padme. Still. He's big bad Vader right now. Not the wrestler, but he's Darth Vader. And he's still haunted.
Yeah, I think where she came from when she made that comment was, you're looking at new stories, new moving on beyond the existing characters. Like I said, the last podcast, I want to see movement forward, not still playing in the same playground. And I think maybe that's where she was making that reference, is that we don't have that material, because they don't have material for a new generation. So they had to build it. We didn't want to, I didn't want them to go backwards. Like I said, a lot of those people were old. I don't want to see, you know, Mark Hamill swinging around with a lightsaber. It was kind of cool for those few moments, but that's it. I don't want to see him redoing it. I don't want to see somebody recast it as him either, because it's going to ruin that. As great as Sebastian Shaw, I think Sebastian Shaw would do. It would take away, and I you always want to move forward. And I, again, that's a whole nother show. But I think with this one, everybody's going, oh, I have to buy the book to find. Yeah, you have to envelop yourself into this world. If I don't know why these people don't understand that when we grew up, we had the three movies, and that was it, and we had books. We had the expanded universe. The expanded universe is what grew the movies eventually, you know, because it always went down to, we always had that story that, you know, the final battle between, you know, between Vader and Obi-Wan was supposed to take place on this volcanic planet. That was always the rumor that was going around, and we got to see it. And those books grew the stories of the legacy of Han and Leia and Luke and the younger Jedis and then the kids. And I mean, that's where you're going to get your stories and stuff. And I just, it's so funny when I hear people complaining about it, but that's all we had. And that's what it is. Star Wars is just a series of movies that has a tremendous groundswell of, I don't want to call it fan literature or fan fiction, but of great authors that built these stories up. And they got a little nugget. Hey, you're going to write a book about this little seed here. And they have grown massive redwoods out of
it. Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's been fantastic.
Timothy Zahn, hands down. I mean, he owns, he is the Dave Filoni of, you know, of the book world when it comes to, to it. So just reach out and get it and stop being a bitch about not wanting to
grow some balls and read a comic.
Pick it up, man. Stop.
But seriously, you know, to piggyback off that, you're right. I mean, the comics have been just on point. I mean, some of them are hit or miss, but the Vader one that you guys and Josh got me to introduce me, that is utter brilliance. That's brilliant. And this one, I think, is starting off on the same foot. You know, when I read the concept, it's after directly what happened in Luke and Empire. I'm like, oh, man, you can really build a lot of stuff. You could build a whole little series on this in that in between time between Empire and Jedi. Who knows? Maybe you'll see Luke becoming a full-fledged Jedi, you know, training somewhere down the line. Maybe we'll see that completed training with Yoda or something else. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff you can do, and this comic book just clearly shows it, especially with the Vader stuff, especially with the past, going back to Tatooine. Just those little nuggets there. It just adds. And so far, this has been a home run for me. I cannot wait to keep reading this.
Yep, I can't wait. I was kind of like iffy about it because I did like the new one that they picked up, the new Star Wars I picked up. I was like, I mean, that was pretty good, but what about the rest? And I love the fact that these are two books that literally are happening at the same time. They're going tandem, hand in hand with each other, so you can see what happened between Empire and Return.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay,
so what do you have? What's your next little book?
Well, it's another nugget that I've been reading for a long time. It was recommended to me by my good buddy Larry at Acme Comics. That's Gideon Falls. I recently caught up on it, and because it's been a while, I read the first issue, but I hadn't read the other issues after that. This is by Jeff Lemire, Andrea Sorrentini, I believe, and Dave Stewart, not the pitcher for the Oakland A's, but just regular old Dave Stewart. The premise of it is that there's these multiverses out there. It's called the Center. And basically this priest, I forgot the priest's name. There's Daniel and his dad, Clara, which is Daniel's sister, and the Plowmen. The Plowmen are basically destined to fight this thing, entity, which has been basically slipping through the cracks of this multiverse. And it all comes from a black barn, which is strange. And this thing, entity, basically has no name. It's basically a dude with an evil, smiling Joker. How can I describe it? If you ever bought those early Disturbed album sleeves and it has like the big smiley face, well, the character looks exactly like this. He's a big, evil, grinny, smiley face. And he goes basically from body to body and he commits these murders. But they can never catch up to the guy because, you know, he's an entity. He could basically just get out and go to somebody else's body. And it's to hunt for him. And apparently there's a lot of multiverse stuff. A lot of multiverse stuff. Like, basically Clara in issue 20 ends up meeting the Clara from like 40 years from now. And she's leading a rebellion in the same world. It's like, how is this happening? And it all stems from this black barn where this entity came from. Apparently Daniel, this entity wants to kill Daniel because it's the only thing that can kill him, basically was commissioned to build this barn. And the barn's basically at the center of the multiverse. So this thing draws power from this black barn somehow. And you got this priest hunting it down who knows who it is. And you got the sister hunting it down, but they can't quite catch it because it keeps going from person to person. And you don't know who it is. Like literally when the cops get there to a scene of a crime and see, like, you know, for instance, there was a panel where they go to a diner and basically everybody's dead in there. And the big thing is the entity is always hungry, always hungry. But whenever they get there, everybody's bludgeoned to death, bleeding, blood splattered everywhere. And the vessel left behind, always hungry. Why is that? We don't know. We don't even know where this thing comes from. It doesn't have a name, but they've been trying to search for it all this time. And I got to admit, the artwork is on point. But then again, all the artwork in comics nowadays is on point. The panels are great. It's an easy read. I mean, I read 3 issues in like literally 30 minutes. It's a really quick read. The story's really good. I think it's been commissioned by HBO for, it's going to go direct to Greenlight for series soon, but I love this comic book. And I'm not too keen on people when they recommend comic books for me. I like to do it myself and see what I can find. I always go for the indies instead of the big boys. But I just really got to say, after this in-depth reading of Gideon Falls, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And this is basically right up my alley. It has some religious tones in it too. Just a lot of cool stuff. And definitely check out Gideon Falls.
And is this a first run or is this a...
It's a first run. It's a first run. Okay. Yeah.
Is this, this continuation of the old Gideon Falls or?
Yeah, because I'm on issue. I've like recently finished 18, 19, and 20. So it's still recent. It's not like it's a second run. It's a brand new run.
Well, I know Gideon started back in 2018.
So I think it's a different one. It's totally different.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So probably like the volume 2 or something then.
Yeah. 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 But it's so good. I mean, you could literally see this thing on screen. It just screams it so badly.
Cool. My next pick is a continuation of the Jonathan Hickman X-Men series, but it's not done by Jonathan. He's kind of given out his little baby out to the rest of the Marvel community. This sort of ties directly into, I believe it was the X-Men book. I want to say it was like number 2. There's a moment in the book where, Cyclops and the X-Men run into the Fantastic Four. It was when they decided to kidnap Sabretooth because he'd done something, and they're like, "No, he's got to, you know." Reed's like, he's got to stay here to, you know, to attest for his crimes. They're like, "Well, no, he's one of ours. He's got a diplomatic immunity now. No, if he's going to attest for anything, he's going to come back to us, to Krakoa, the mutant island." And face our charges, and in the end they did, you know, they did charge Sabretooth and did punish him for what happened. But you know, as they were walking away, Scott makes the snidest little crack to Reed. Hey, whenever your son is ready to join his true family, let him know, because in this world, their son Franklin is a mutant. He is a mutant. He's not like his parents. He's got abilities. And the way in this world that Jonathan Hickman has created is that the mutants, every mutant is now a citizen of Krakoa. You don't have to do anything to become one. You're a mutant. You're a citizen. Instantly, you have diplomatic immunities. But this book is X-Men and the Fantastic Four, number 1. I believe it's a 6-book run, if I remember. I don't have it in front of me. This one's written by Chip Zdarsky and art, and the cover was done by Terry Dodson. And basically the line has been drawn in this, in the sand, and seeds were planted in back, like I said, Page's House of X is actually where it was where this started. But every mutant on Earth again lives on Krakoa except for one, Franklin, the son of Reed Richards and Sue from Fantastic Four, and has a life-altering decision to make. Does he stay with Fantastic Four family, or will he opt to go live with his fellow the mutants? And there is hints and throwbacks to something that happened, because I'm trying to remember. I think it's Astonishing X-Men when Kitty Pryde was she was stuck in a hospital. I'm trying to remember the storyline for it. But a very young Reed grew an attachment to her, and they became friends, and he would always go visit her and say hi. You know, when I'm saying young Reed, I'm saying like a 6-7 year old. Now he's, you know, in his, you know, late teens. But there's always been this connection between them, and they so she goes there to kind of be the friendly face of the mutants to Franklin. So it's a very interesting story to see how they play off of each other, and how, in seeing how Reed is being an overbearing father, and he's like, no, he's my son. We can do these things. We can help out, because apparently, I believe it was the House of M where Franklin lost his abilities just before this big crossover that came around. He lost his abilities. So he is still a mutant, but it takes a long time for him to regenerate his abilities. And so he's trying to help him out and trying to do this. And he's just becoming an overbearing father. And Franklin and his sister decide to make a decision on something. But it's a great book. If anybody has liked the new Jonathan Hickman, this is just an extension of it. And I was worried when I saw that Jonathan wasn't directly attached to it, because I was afraid that whoever picked it up wasn't going to recapture that world. And Chip and Terry definitely did.
Definitely sounds like a good read. I got to get on that. I like the way you mapped it out, especially with Franklin Richards.
Yeah. Like I said, I remember that one line from the House of X where Scott just makes this crack. I'm like,
it sounds like they've really written Scott Summers really well too.
They've taken him a little bit. He's no longer this weak person. It's different how they've written him, because he's no longer the field general like he used to be. He was always, you know, because Xavier would always stay back and help him out, you know, mentally. Xavier's not that way anymore. Xavier's not strapped to this wheelchair. He's mobile. And Scott, it seems as though Scott doesn't have that black or white mindset anymore, you know, about how to do things, because he's still always going to be that field general, but he seems a little bit lighthearted. So when he made that little crack, it was just like, yeah, we'll see you. We'll see him soon. Don't you worry. It was very interesting. And I remember that. And I love the fact that somebody looked at that line and says, oh, there's a whole story to deal with that line. And I was hoping they would eventually hit it. And I didn't realize it was going to be so soon.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, especially with the fallout that's happened. And, you know, Franklin's got a choice to make, and I wonder if he'll go back to the mutants. That's interesting. I think he will. I think the way they're writing it, but then again, you don't know. So it's him being a mutant out and out like that.
Yep. That's going to be interesting. Again, it's a different world. I mean, the mutants are acceptable, you know, or accepted now. They're there to try to help. Some countries accept them, some don't. And it's one of those things that they if you want the help with the mutants, I mean, you got to respect them and give them their rights. So what do you have next, sir?
I have, this is from the Infected storyline, but this year it's being called Hail Risen Issue 2 by James Tytum, Steve Epting, Javier Fernandez, and Nick Falardi. Guess what? When we last left, we saw that the troops for the Batman Who Laughs was fighting this, I guess the easiest way is like super amped up Lex Luthor. And after basically you lead off the panel just by that, Lex is fighting Don Troy, was a different name, King Shazam, Supergirl, and the Blue Beetle, and Hawkman. They have different names. I don't have those names in front of me. But they basically find Lex pretty much kicks their ass pretty simply using all his new technology, his alien powers. You get an idea what's going on, because Lex basically, after he beats them, he takes blood samples from the infected. So he's probably going to find a way to try to reverse that stuff that's going on with the infected, who have been infected by the Batman Who Laughs with that, I guess, that super toxin. They haven't called it a name yet. There's a meeting with Lex Luthor and Mercy Graves. You find out that Mercy Graves has left Lex, but when Lex sees her the next time, basically walks into her apartment, sees Lex there, and Lex has converted her apartment into a safe house, unknown as to her. You see some mentions like, how come my Wi-Fi doesn't work in my apartment? Well, you know why Lex converted your apartment into a safe house. Good old Lex Luthor. What a new guy. During the middle of this comic, you find out the Batman Who Laughs is in some swamp, and he sees a jail cell, and there's somebody being held prisoner there. I don't want to say who, it's going to spoil it, but I'll just say it's one of the captain's favorite characters. And at the end of the book, you find out that Lex Luthor has to make an alliance with somebody in particular that, you know, has something to do with the Batman Who Laughs. I'll just leave it at that. Basically, it's a continuation of this Year of Infected. We're going to get the big fight with Lex and the Batman Who Laughs down the road. It's just more little nuggets, more little characters being sprinkled in there, seeing what they kind of do. You know, this Batman Who Laughs is the ultimate tactician. So is Lex. So it's going to come down to those two. And there's an accompanying book, I believe, Batman Superman 6. I won't get into that, but that also deals with that ramifications that's going on with this fight. So we're just keeping that storyline alive. Solid run so far. Nothing great in this comic book, just the continuation until the eventual big meeting between Lex and the Batman Who Laughs.
Yeah, I wish I could I could get into this. I just can't. I feel bad because every one of my favorite reads so far has been Marvel, and I'm the DC guy, and it's I just can't do it. I don't know if it's the fact I got a bad taste in my mouth from Metal, and I just can't pick up on it, and the Infected thing's bothering me, and the Year of the Villain, every one I picked up was like bad writing. So I think it's one of those ones I'm gonna have to wait to the series is over and sit down and just do a read on all of them.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest way to do it. Like I said, it's not for everybody. If you were not a fan of the Metal stuff, then you're probably not going to like this stuff. But I think the character himself, the Batman Who Laughs, is interesting the way they've done it. So,
like I said, it just annoys me because pretty much everything, you know, except for the Bendis crap, is all about this Infected and about the Batman Who Laughs. You know, I feel left out of DC, and it bothers me. I'm happy Marvel's like opened arms and said, "Hey, here's some really good stuff," and they've done some different things. So it's always bothered me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's all how it hits you too. Yeah. If it doesn't hit you in the right certain way, you're not going to get it.
Well, I think with me, what it really boils down to is like I said, Metal didn't hit me right, and then DC just brought everything Metal into it. I'm like, but I understand that it's not completely everything, but the other stories that are running right now, like Bendis with the Superman giving away his secret identity, I'm like, no, you don't. And that turned me off there from Superman for right now. I think the only thing that I've like held on to a little bit is the Justice League Dark, you know, series that's still kicking around.
Funny that you mentioned that Bendis stuff and Batman Superman issue 6. There is there's a little nod to that Bendis stuff in there with there's a little scene between Clark and Bruce. They talk about that and pretty interesting. I don't think you'd like it, but they do nod to Bendis on there.
Yeah, nice. my series, there's a series that just came back out. I think they just dropped the last one that I've been reading. Are you familiar with The End? It was a comic book series published by Marvel.
Sounds familiar, but no, I have not.
Basically, what they did is they follow the possibility endings of various Marvel characters. Like, it's, you know, and they're all set, you know, kind of in the future. Some have their own apocalypse, like a Hulk and the Punisher, and the other ones have different spins. And this one came out, I want to say 2007, 2008 was the original one. They had the Fantastic Four, the Hulk, Iron Man, Marvel, Spider-Girl, Wolverine, the Wolverine one, I remember reading that was a six issue limited series. And that was great because you come to find out Wolverine actually has a brother, who's been watching Wolverine this whole time. And it's just a really great story. But then 2019, last year, they started doing the Return of the End, featuring new stories. I think the last one that just came out was Captain America was the last one that they had. Venom, Miles Morales, Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel, and then Deadpool. Of course, Deadpool's was just over the top of him, basically hallucinating through most of it. But the whole stories are really fun. This last one, the reason I put these in here is because they reignited my want to read more of the original stuff. The original stuff is much better. But the newer ones, Miles Morales, I'm not a big Miles Morales Spider-Man fan. It's Peter Parker. You just put a new coat of paint on him is all I see with that. And of course, Captain Marvel, I'm not a fan of Captain Marvel, but the Captain America Venom and the Doctor Strange ones really, you know, piqued my interest, but it drove me to go back and go, you know what, did I miss or did I catch all of those from the original run? And I apparently did, because there's even a full Marvel The End where they take it's 6-issue 1 where they cover the whole ending of the Marvel universe. So really fun. Interesting reads. The one I'm reading right now is it the No, it's not an Iron Man one. Goodness, which one was I reading? It's got Iron Man to where he's actually... Tony Stark has been dead for a while. His mind lives on in... Oh, it's the Fantastic Four one. I'm sorry. I'm reading the Fantastic Four one. It's where his mind still lives within the Iron Man suit, and he's sprinkled the Iron Man suits across the universe. Very similar to his idea in Age of Ultron, you know, a suit, you know, around the world. And he kind of has done that, but he's put his AI, his soul, basically can travel from suit to suit to suit to suit if needed.
Very Ultron-like.
Yeah. But it's really cool because, you know, people are like, oh my God, Iron Man's dying. He got too close to some laser blast and his suits, you know, disintegrated. And within like minutes, he was, you know, a new suit was, you know, right around the corner.
Yeah.
If anybody's interested in these possible futures, I think they're really cool. Especially, like I said, if I'm going to say read one, read the Wolverine one. It's just great artwork. And the storyline is awesome. It much better than an Old Man Logan run. And I thought it was a little bit better than the actual movie Logan, because you know, here he is. He's a hermit living in the woods. He has an old guy that brings him up his you know, weekly, you know, groceries, and the old man says, "Oh, I've been bringing him groceries since I was 11."
Wow.
You know, damn. And it, so you kind of get an idea of how old he is, and just certain things start popping up. And I think one of the coolest things is like, that's what led me to think more about, of how the movie Logan was, is Xavier's not with him anymore, but Xavier's spirit haunts him.
That makes sense.
I mean, he's sort of become his conscience, his Jiminy Cricket of sorts, to where, you know, when he starts doing something, Xavier pops up. But then you're not sure if Wolverine's talking to Xavier, if there's sometimes where he's talking to himself, because it's almost as if he's communicating with, like, there's Logan and then there's Wolverine. And he sometimes has this conversation back and forth with himself, which is kind of funny to watch.
That's interesting.
Well, yeah, but it's a good read, and then with it kind of goes around the world, you know, revisits, you know, he goes back to the Xavier Mansion. He goes back to where the Weapon X program was. He also goes back to Japan. So very, very interesting twist. And then, like I said, you get to meet his real brother and find out what kind of twist and sick dude this guy was.
It's interesting. Jesus.
So, but that's my pick. The End from Marvel Comics. There are some new ones out. Like I said, there's about 5 new ones out, but the other ones are almost, you know, over a decade old, but I think the older ones were pretty fun.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I have to at least scope that and check that out. I guess it's my turn. What do I have here? I have a lot, but I'm only going to choose a couple. I got John Constantine issue 2 from the Black Label from DC. Simon Spurrier, Aaron Campbell, and Jidar Beldar. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Yeah, Jidar Beldar. Basically, you're going off of issue 1 where you find out these kids are being murdered by angels from a burning tree. Yeah. Don't let your kids read this book. John is trying to figure out what's going on. He is in cahoots with the lowest of low type of characters and a kid who apparently knows what's going on, but he doesn't want to reveal what's going on for fear of something that we don't know. And then you have the typical antics of Constantine going to bars, saying bollocks, and getting into fights. It's typical John Constantine. The mystery of finding who's killing these kids. And they're angels. John searches for more clues, and the anticipation builds. Artwork is really solid. Not getting too much of a story. All you know is that these angels are killing these kids on this burning tree, and we don't know why. But if you like Constantine and you like wackiness, then you'll dig this book. It's pretty solid so far.
Very good. Yeah, that's another one I've been wanting to pick up on. I haven't gotten a chance to read that one yet. I've got them, but they're sitting there. I'm like, I'll get you in a second.
Yeah, you just gotta have a day where you just do like a read off. But it's been good so far. It's a good build up. We're gonna see where it's gonna go. I mean, nothing yet, but you know, with Constantine, you never know what's gonna happen around the corner. He's just that type of character.
Very good. I guess this one, I was going to talk about it in our prior show, but since this is the bonus one and we didn't really cover the show, but I've also read the first volume of Lock and Key, who's coming out this week, dropped Friday, the 7th, on Netflix. But again, Lock and Key, the book, graphic novel, great book. It's from Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. If anybody is not familiar who Joe Hill is, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son, but he has taken his father's skill and I love the fact that he decided not to go off of his father's name, but he decided to make a career on his own, and he ventured into the world of the comic books, and he's done a great job. He's had a few novels out there, Heart Shaped Box, Horns. If anybody's ever seen the Horns,
I think I've seen Horns
movie. Yeah, that was him. And he's ventured into the comic book world. Lock and Key was one of his first ones. It was, again, like I was saying, IDB that came out, goodness, 2008. I want to say 2008, 2009 or around that area. And so it's a really, really good read. If anybody has started to watch the Netflix series, go back and read this book. The book takes a different route than the movie or the show. The show does some things that I feel hurt the characteristics of it, but I feel this book is a great, great read for its genre. It's horror based. It does have a few gritty moments, but you know, the one thing I noticed, if spoiler alerts, folks, if you haven't seen the movie yet or the show, I keep calling it a movie, but the show, there's one door that they have yet to use in the first two episodes. I've watched the first two episodes so far, but it's one of the first doors that Bodhi, the youngest son, finds. And basically, if anybody's interested, the Lock and Key, if you have not, it's basically following their father's murders. Three siblings, the Lock siblings, move into an old house, their father's house from up in Massachusetts, the Key House, and it's filled with reality bending keys. And basically there's hundreds of keys, and each key does something different to the doors they open. And one of the first keys that is discovered is for the door. And when you walk through it, you die, you become a ghost. But the nice thing is you can just, your ghost can re-enter the door the way it came in, and you'll re-enter your body. So the youngest, Bodhi, being the, a little kid that's always trying to get into everything, he discovers the first key, discovers this door, and is able to wander around the key house and see certain things happening, finding out about certain conversations, and then he returns to his body. They avoided that one, which I wish they would have. I thought that was probably one of the best parts of the book. It was him being able to do that.
It's been good. Yeah, so far it's been a solid, yeah, solid, solid series. But I haven't read the book like you have, so I don't.
Like I
know.
Say, the girl in the well, she remained in the well for a good part of it. The murder of their father, he actually gets broken out of jail. We haven't seen that yet in the show, but in the book, the way he gets broken out is the girl in the well is able to communicate to him through his prison sink. And they have conversations, and she actually asks Bodhi for a mirror and a pair of scissors, and he drops it down at the well for her, and she in turn delivers it to the guy in prison through the sink. So it's like there's really some really cool factors that they just sort of have avoided. I'm not sure why. I know you and I had to talk about, yes, they're concentrating more on the teenage side, because you do want to get people to watch, but I really think you would probably have gotten some people a good bulk of people to watch it if they continued with the same story and kept it more horror based.
Well, it's hopefully they keep doing that. I don't know how far they're going to go. I think so far it hasn't been too horror based. It's been basically more thriller, I guess I could say.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it's Netflix. You can't, there's no, you can't have, straight up horror and gore factor on there. But it's done all right. Certain things that they did, the murder of his dad. You only kind of hinted at the post-traumatic stress that Ty's getting, the oldest son. You only see, like, there's one scene where you see this guy that he beat up and killed. You only see him doing one flashback, but in the book, the first volume, he's haunted by him. He sees him in mirrors. He sees him in the reflection of the pond by the house. He's constantly reminded of this thing that he had to do to, you know, to try to save his family.
Damn.
Yeah, there's some really deep, deep, dark, twisted things in here that they just are sort of avoiding. And it's not twisted to the point where, like, oh, well, nobody should see this. It's twisted that's important to the story, and it builds those characters. Because right now you're missing out on the son and the two sons and the daughter. They're very generic in a way when I'm watching it. So, but hopefully it'll build. I'm not a binge watcher. I'd like to take my time. So it'll probably take me a couple of weeks to sit down and finally watch it all.
Yeah. I'm probably going to check out a couple episodes before I call it a night tonight. So it's not the book, like from the way you've described it, like the book from what I've known is more horror based and more just like, oh, what is this leading to? And I heard it's like more Lovecraftian too. So far from what I've seen, I've only seen two episodes. Not very Lovecraftian. It's just very, it's very Riverdale. If I can say that, I don't watch Riverdale, but it's very Riverdale. And if I wanted to watch Riverdale, I would watch Riverdale. So
I'm just gonna leave. Like I said, guys, do check out the Hill House comics. Also, if you guys are fans of horror comics, that's one of the ones that I know I've talked about beforehand. He's been doing a small run on the Black Label on DC. Hill has. It goes under the Hill House comics, and those are really fun and good horror. So check those out. So what do you have next?
What do I have next? What's in the box? Sorry if you don't get that reference. I have, where is it? Well, speak of the devil, Batman Superman issue 6 by Williamson, Marquez, and Sanchez. Gotta love those Latino flavor coming on board. Batman and Superman finally tell Wonder Woman the truth about Donna Troy, who has been infected. That's one of the things they've been holding back for a long time. Commissioner Gordon, who is infected, reveals that the truth will be the greatest lie to tell. I thought that was a great line. Batman and Superman try to do different things to beat the Batman Who Laughs, and a surprising team-up at the end of the issue closes that one out. Basically, we're carrying on the Year of the Infected. Hell has risen. Batman Who Laughs is mentioned. He's not in this comic, but it's more of the relationship between Bruce and Clark. Because basically, we all know that Bruce does things that people would consider a little bit, you know, twisting to the edge or fighting against the cuff. And Clark has always been the guy who like pulls him back, and Diana has always been the voice of reason. That's been the Trinity. That's been as long as they've been written just that way. But in this comic, you get to see that, unfortunately for the captain on the other side of this mic, you know, Clark is dealing with the fact that his identity has been revealed to the world in a small panel. And Bruce is basically saying, hey, look, you know, they know who you are. Doesn't really matter. You're still Superman. So we got a job to do. Basically, get your butt back on the horse. Stop being moody and move forward. That's basically the thing he's saying.
That's right. Yeah. Moody's my job. Stop doing that shit.
Yeah, basically. Unless you watch Man of Steel, he's very moody in that movie. But basically to move forward, and they're going to try different tactics to beating the Batman Who Laughs this time. And of course, the Batman Who Laughs always has an ulterior plan. It shows at the end of the comic as well, which leads into another one of the spoilers. If you have not read issue 6 yet, it's a story. But then you find out more about relationships. You find out more of how Bruce and Clark are going to deal with this now. They're not going to be, like, if you ever watched the Tower of Babel. It was a Tower of Babel comic, I believe, where basically Batman has all the secrets of all the Justice League members hidden and they don't even know about it. Basically, it's this almost similar thing here. Bruce is always hiding the truth. So Clark and Bruce got to figure out a way to deal with this without withholding the truth. Maybe they don't have to be so secret about it. Go in a different area. And that's basically Batman, Superman, issue 6.
Very good. Very good. I do not have any more. What about you? You got any more that you want to talk about?
See, I do, but I'm gonna leave those for next week. As one in particular, which you have to catch up on, and I would definitely like to get your take on it, especially these last two issues. Which
what's are really that?
Good. Batman, what is it called? It's
Batman Grave.
Yes, Batman Grave 3 and 4. Yeah,
okay, so yeah. I think I've read 3. I don't think I've read 4 yet. I'll make sure. Yeah.
The last two are just really good, and I would love to get your input on it.
Well, I mean, I know the first one. I mean, I remember the first one's very, very detective. That was like the first
book
I think I've read from Batman that is just straight up, I'm a detective. I'm going to sit down. Like, I remember that, I think it was the first or second one where he like pulls out and he has like a computer generated model, 3D model of the crime scene, and just, I mean, I just thought I'd love the idea of what he was doing. He was more tactical in his outfit as well. I just so much about it. I like.
Yeah, there's if you like that stuff, then the next two.
I think really the problem good. Is when his when that book comes out, there's a bunch of other books, and he always that one always kind of gets.
Yeah, and that's the one that you told me about, and I've actually kept the fire alive for that. You know.
Hey, I do that a lot. I'll start on something, go, man, that's great, and then I'll just back away, and yeah. you'll get carry it on.
That's what she said.
So. All right, so Alrighty. Guys, that is it for the Heroes Asylum Midnight. Not Midnight. Shit, man.
Hey, you said it. You said it. Aha.
This is for the Legends of the Long Box. This is our first solo one. But, guys, this was a bonus issue. We missed you guys last week. I did throw out the Princess Bride, so you guys can take a look at that. I thought that was a fun one, so that's why I shared that as a bonus.
That really was a fun one. I'm glad we did that. We're going to do more.
We will be doing more. But make sure you guys do check us out again. Like I always say, heroesasylum.com. You can find all of our links, our shows, links to the podcast apps that we are located on. We are located on much more than that, but just do the search for them. But if you know the big, you know, five, we got you covered, or you can just listen straight off of the website. So make sure you guys do it. And again, I will thank you a million times over. There are so many podcasts out there out there to listen to. You chose to listen to us. Thank you. And make sure you guys get to our Facebook page. It's growing every day.
The inmates are coming out. Yes. Twitter, Instagram, The Heroes Asylum and Heroes Asylum on Instagram. I think I mentioned before, the rebirth of the Heroes Asylum Instagram page will be occurring on March 20th and 21st. We'll be at KaiserCon for you local people here in Orlando. That's 2 days. We're going to be there from 4 to 9, I believe, on Friday. And then Saturday morning, breakfast with Kane and the captain. That's right. 10 to 4, we'll be there also. Come over, say hi, sit down, talk some geeky stuff. Bring us some food. We're going to be very hungry.
All right, guys, we will see you next week.
Get to the asylum.
This has been a Heroes Asylum production.